Welcome to Intentional Living Live today as we're getting ready to go into this holiday weekend together. And I thought we'd do something kind of cool and special today, so I invited two of the most important special people I know to join me in the studio, and I'll tell you who they are in just a moment. And we want to talk a little bit about the finding your purpose and living your purpose so you can, in life, finish strong. That's one of the things we say about intentional living, don't we, Jennifer? You know, finding your purpose, living your purpose so you can finish strong in life. And I think many times we can go through our life and have opportunities to have ministry, sometimes full-time, sometimes they're maybe in your church or in your community, but finding opportunities to minister to people and reach people. That's what we want to talk about today. We got some callers we'll be sharing with you as well, and we just welcome you to Intentional Living Live. I'm Dr. Randy, and I'd like to introduce one of our three children, our only daughter, Andrea Stroop. Hi, Andrea.
Hey, how you doing?
Listen, Andrea and her husband, Chris. Chris is here as well. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Love your radio voice, man. That's great. They're here from Africa. They took three of our grandchildren and moved to Africa. And so we get some FaceTime on the computer, talk to them from time to time, but they are there ministering. Chris is on staff with Samaritan's Purse. Many of you know that ministry. And he happens to be their kind of the in charge of all flight operations for West Africa and flies the helicopter and does a lot of interesting things. And our daughter, Andrea, is a mom, three of our grandchildren, but also taking on the project of starting a school there to reach the children on the compound where they live. So we're glad to have you guys with us here today. Chris, tell us just a little bit about what it is that you do. I mean, we talk about finding our purpose. It seems like you've been wired to do what you do. You really enjoy what you do. How did you land in doing this?
Yeah, I have to say it's the best flying job I've had to date. I've been flying for almost 25 years, and it's good because of the service aspect of it. So we kind of operate as in a sense, a corporate flight department. We support the projects side of the ministry and whatever they decide to do, whatever projects they're working in the villages and things like that. So a lot of what I do in the interior is transport our staff to and from those projects. And then on occasion, we do some water bucket distributions, so clean water is brought to the villages, things like that. And when we go out there, most of the villages have soccer fields to land on. This is jungle now. Everybody thinks Africa, and they often think savannah and things like that, but this is Liberia. It's mostly jungle, triple canopy, deep tall trees. But every village kind of has a soccer field,
and they don't see helicopters every day. I mean,
no.
This is very how do these folks respond, these children and these families, when you come and land out there in the jungle?
They love it. I think a big part of it is, like you said, the helicopter coming to visit. That never happens. It's excitement. It's somebody coming to visit that's not from their area, from their village. And then also what we bring. They know that our staff has been on the ground. They've explained why we're coming. And they know what we're bringing with us, whether it be sanitation or digging a well or things like that. And the helicopter is unique in that it can bring supplies into these places that can only be reached by foot.
Powerful. Thank you, Chris. You know, we're proud of what Chris and Andrea do. Andrea, of course, you're with the kids and taking on this project of building a school as well. Andrea, what's your, for those of us here who are used to having 24-hour-a-day water works and electricity works and life kind of is normal here in the United States, even though it's different from city to city. What is life like for you as a mom there in West Africa and the work that you do?
So our first few years there, I spent my days homeschooling. So I was home with the kids, and we'd bring over all the curriculum, and I'd work with the kids throughout the day. Water and electricity is always a game. So we always keep buckets full throughout the house. We never know when water or power are going to go out. We have a minimal amount of city power that we get a week, a certain amount of hours, and then the rest we rely on our campus generator. And then when the campus generator goes out, then we figure it out on our own. So, yeah, so I spent several years home with the kids. And about 2 years ago, the Lord really impressed on my heart to help support the other missionaries there in this city that we're living in. We had a lot of missionaries that were going to have to leave the country because of a lack of education. They, because of the countries they come from, they're not legally allowed to homeschool. So another woman and myself got together and we began planning a small school. We call it co-op, but it is a full-time school. And we just completed our first full year. So we have preschoolers all the way up through eighth grade. We had them broke them down into several classrooms and just did several grade levels together with each of between three adults. Kind of did our best.
So, wow. How many students? How many kids?
This year we had 28, and next year we're looking at about 35.
And how many different countries do they represent?
This year we had 11 different countries in the school. Our kids were the only Americans, so we had mostly East African, Nigerian, European, and Canadian, and one Canadian
family. So you have some interesting language, cultural.
Yes.
I'd like to hear about that. Let's take a break. Jennifer, we'll come back. I'd like to hear about some of our educators listening today, you know, in the culture of your classroom. What's the culture of a classroom with 11 different countries represented in West Africa? My daughter, Andrea, our daughter, Andrea, is here along with her husband, Chris, and their three children visiting from West Africa for a few weeks. And I invited them to come on in and just share a little bit with you and from our family to yours, having to do with finding your purpose. You know, what's your purpose? Living out your purpose. Some of you, maybe you have a calling. Maybe God's called you. Maybe not to West Africa, but right there to your neighborhood, the west side of your town. Maybe in the school system coming up this fall. We got lots of needs right here in our home base as well as around the world. But what one thing? Here's the question, intentional living. What one thing can you do to bring glory to God, benefit to those you minister to, and certainly to yourself? We'll be right back.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. What are the characteristics of someone who's winning or losing at life? In Dr. Randy's teaching, he looks at Nehemiah and Jonah and how they each responded to the challenges and opportunities in front of them and what we can learn from their stories. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This is the final month in our budget year, and it's important that we finish this month strong. To receive this month's special offer and to give a monthly gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Iris. I'm closing up a career on 24 years in the military. I just went on terminal leave on the 23rd of September, and I just wanted to say I'm listening to the show, and you know, I think that God has a purpose for my life here. I'm passionate about what I'm about to do next. I'm still looking for what that thing is, but I believe that it was just, you know, divine providence that I was able to leave the service when I did, and now I'm here and I'm available to God 100%, and that's my passion right now. I appreciate the opportunity to talk. Bye-bye.
Hey, life's short. We get about 27,000 days on the planet. That's about it, give or take. You know, how do you want to spend them in terms of your life? What's most important to you? It may be, as we talk about mission work, it may be something overseas. It could be right just over the block, right next door. But people need the Lord, and the outreach of ministering to people is before you. That's the purpose today, as we're thinking about finding our purpose, living our purpose. And I invited our daughter, Andrea, and her husband, Chris, who are here from West Africa. They are in ministry there with an NGO, and they wanted to... Well, I invited them to come on in and share their story to maybe encourage some of you and get a little glimpse in what's life like in West Africa. And you guys are on a compound, living in a compound there on the ocean in West Africa, at the very location where some of us remember the Ebola epidemic that ravaged West Africa and even came to the United States with one of the missionaries who was flown over here was from that same compound, correct, Andrea? Wasn't that the same place where you're located?
Yeah, I lived just down the street from us.
Yeah, and survived, but that was such a deadly time, and the country of Liberia has been really struggling ever since their civil war and so on. What's the poverty like there, Chris, when you get around town and things? What's it like? How do the people live? What do you see?
You know, you see a lot of people missing legs on the street, a lot of people living on the street. I'm really never sure where they kind of stay on a regular basis. The clothing that they wear looks like that's all they got, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of people asking for money and food. It's kind of everywhere downtown. And most of it, you know, there's trash everywhere and things like that. It's stuff you'd expect to see if you thought about a third world country.
Yeah.
And even we've even had people come over from East Africa and say how impoverished it looks compared to where they're used to, even though it's not much better over there. But there are so many needs everywhere. There's so many. It's almost overwhelming how many needs there are. And you think about, what can I do? What small thing can I do to help these people? Or you see a recurring problem you want to solve. It's the good thing about it is if somebody wants to serve, they can do one of 100 things to do so. Yeah.
It's a big need. Donna and I had the privilege of being over there for a few days back in 2020 and go to an orphanage and visit the community. And you'd like to wrap your arms around the whole country and just with a magic wand, solve all the problems. But we know that that doesn't happen. But it raises the question, Andrew, you've been there now 4.5 years. What's the church like? Is it a vital in West Africa? And what do you see in the churches in that area?
Yeah, so we're in the main capital of Monrovia. And in Monrovia, there are a lot of churches. And so you get there, and at first glance, you think, wow, this is a very Christian nation, and a lot of people will claim to be Christians. But it very quickly comes to realization that the churches lack an understanding of the Bible. The pastors don't have training. So a lot of them are put into the positions to pastor because they raise their hand. And so they're leading a congregation of people, and they don't fully understand Scripture. So with that, we've seen that there's been a lot of misinterpretation of Scripture because they haven't been formally trained, and there's a lot of old beliefs, you know, your deeper beliefs in the country, witchcraft and different things that gets intermixed in there because that's how they grew up. That's what they're surrounded with in their families. And so a lot of them will come, they claim to come to know the Lord, but they still haven't fleshed out all of what they know culturally. And those things just become one new religion that they preach.
So they're kind of synchronizing some of the religions or the cultural cults and into Christianity, which really is an opportunity when you think about training and leadership to be able to train these pastors, because they're really on the front line, that they're going to be strong and being able to present the gospel, which is really, really important. What do you find, Andrea, in the family structure there? I mean, I know you get around and have opportunity to minister. What are the families like? How do they operate differently than maybe here in West Africa?
It's a more communal living lifestyle, which is very common in Africa. A lot of families, a lot of families live together. Particularly in the interior, in the bush, men will have multiple wives, and that's not uncommon. They don't look at that as an odd thing. So a lot of times you don't see families living together. So you see families who have come to know the Lord, they are set apart. You can see that the family unit tends to be a little bit stronger. There's a little bit more care with the kids. But it's just a lack of training on discipline, and there is just a general lack of education over there in general for the kids in schools. And so it makes it difficult where the children have to go out and work. in order to support the family instead of going to school because they can't afford to go to schools. So,
Andrea and Chris Stroop, our daughter and son-in-law here from West Africa, where they are in ministry impacting people through aviation and through education. In one of the poorest countries, I think I looked online and Liberia was like number three or four in the poorest countries in the world. And when you visit there, you see it. And I know you guys have opportunity to minister even on your compound with some of the people that come and serve. And you have, even on your own team, you're able to have people part of your aviation team that are locals. I'm sure that makes a huge difference for their families to be able to be employed.
Yeah, and they one of the guys there is a pilot in training for our caravan, our airplane, and moving along, progressing well. The other guys, one of the other guys, has been there 16 years or so with Samaritan's Purse, so he's kind of knows everything and everybody. He's kind of the go-to guy when we need something solved. So, yeah, they do a great job, and they're able to move up in the local community. I guess if you want to call it moving up. There is kind of a middle class there, so they're kind of approaching that from their standpoint. And it's good to bless them. I mean, it really, really is a way to pour into the country.
You know, we're thinking about finding your purpose, living your purpose today. And Andrew, you guys, you know, you're living 7,000 miles away from your family here. And what's life like for you and your family right there? I mean, a lot different than being here in the United States, but what's it like?
It's a lot more simple. we don't have all the extracurriculars like you have here, for good and bad. We've grown to appreciate the simplicity. It took us time to get used to that, where there's not a lot to do, but outside of work, but our kids have become very creative through that. And they're just outside and they're climbing trees and it's been wonderful. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we work like everybody else does, and then we just enjoy family time in the evenings and the weekends, and I always go in and go to the market on the weekends and shop. Saturday is the shopping day, and then we have a small church that we go to on and off that's in town. It's a small little missionary plant church that we go to. It's just a local in the community. On Sundays, and then, yeah, I'm at school during the week, and Chris is at the hangar flying and managing, so.
Yeah, and that flying is different. That's a different kind of aviation. I mean, you haul stuff below the helicopter and different things that we don't see here necessarily. And most of us, we see helicopters every day, you know, flying around. In Liberia, aren't you like the only helicopter in the whole country?
Yeah, just about. There's a mine there, and they have their own kind of VIP transport, but for any kind of work that's done. Yeah, there's not a lot of aircraft in the country at all to begin with, but a lot of what we do is external load where we can hang, like you were saying, the supplies for building a well, concrete bags, things like that,
they're going out building a well in one of these villages. How'd they get water before the well?
They went down to the nearest river and scooped it up and walked however far they had to.
How far
back.
Might that be for some of these people?
A couple miles maybe.
So they have to walk and haul back buckets for their community.
Yeah, and it takes a while because it's rough terrain, you know, so they have to kind of chop their way through the bush or if there's a dirt road of some kind, they're still walking it.
So when they put in the well, I bet you that's a huge celebration the day.
Absolutely. It's a big deal.
Don't we take it for granted, everybody? We turn the faucet on and we get frustrated when the hot water isn't there, like right now. I want the hot water there right now. And in different parts of the world. We're talking about intentional living today, finding your purpose, living your purpose. That's what we're talking about. Maybe prompting in your own life today to think about what one thing could you do? What's a need around you today? You don't have to go to Africa to have a ministry. You have a ministry right here on Main Street in America, right in your church, now more than ever. And that's what we're encouraging today. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a moment. The next thing we see that Jonah did in this story is he hid from God in verse 3. It says he went down to Joppa, he found a ship going down into the hull below so he could be out of the presence of the Lord. He hid from God. Where we see Nehemiah went before God, he prayed, He fasted. He was on his knees. We see Jonah hiding in the bottom of the ship as though God can't see him down there. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month on winners and losers, you know, and I compare and contrast in this master class the life of Jonah and Nehemiah, two guys from the Old Testament. One sat on a hill at the end of his book in the Bible, feeling sorry for himself, and the other one is giving glory to God, and 52 days later, finishing the walls of Jerusalem. And the principles we learn from Nehemiah's life can be profound. And you know, this is the end of the month. It's the last opportunity to make sure you receive the masterclass teaching this month from Intentional Living. So your support today, coming and joining us in monthly support, does a couple of things. One is, as a monthly member, we'll make sure you start receiving these masterclass teachings, video and audio, as they'll come to you by email. And secondly, since we're at the end of the year, literally our fiscal year today, this is an opportunity to get in and help us close strong. I want to thank those of you who've been helping. You know, your gifts had been matched. We appreciate those who made that possible. But now, just to close out this year, we're not quite there yet, and your support makes a huge difference. So please go online to theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon, theintentionallife.com, or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and then press number 2.
Dr. Randy, the reason I know my purpose in life is the Holy Spirit told me to teach Bible study. And through the few years that I've been doing it, the Lord has always, regardless of the situation, opened a door so it will always continue. So, you know, if he's always opening the door for you to continue, it's in his will for you to do it. And I'm driven in my heart of hearts to teach. It's what I believe I'm here for. The Holy Spirit inspired me, told me to do this. And through my life, I've been set up in every circumstance of my life for this day to happen when I became a teacher of the Holy Word of God.
Good for you, man. Listen, you know, the scripture says, Paul says to young Timothy, who was a little timid and fearful, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, and to exercise that gift. And that's what we're talking about, finding purpose. We only got a few minutes left here. And Andrea, coming back to the school, you took the lead. You got this school project going, and I know you've been seeking to get more help in terms of teachers and all of that that would come and help make this possible. But most of it rests on your shoulders, all of it probably. And you've got multiple cultures. And how does that work? I mean, what's the school classroom look like there compared to what you had here when you taught?
Yeah, so when we first got this up and running, I had to kind of quickly test all the kids to the best I could over there to kind of get a ballpark, because we have to plan about 6 to 8 months out to order curriculum and books, sent them to a lady that I know, have them put in big barrels that look like large trash cans, and then they seal them up, they put them on a boat, and about 4 or 5 months later, we get our books. Huh. So then we drive down to the port. We collect all of our pencils and scissors and glue and math books and all those things, and then set up our school and figure it out as we go along, as we figure out who the kids are.
Yeah.
We have mostly all ESL, as English as a second language, English language learners. So that's a factor into how we taught. And then we have several special needs kids. Mm. So we just asked the Lord every day for strength and creativity. That was our morning prayer, and that the Lord would give us patience as we navigate each of the different scenarios, different worldviews, different cultures we're bringing into the school. Each of them have different education backgrounds and understandings of education and what that looks like, and levels of education. So, but the thing that kept us going is that a lot of our kids, their parents are the doctors at the Mission Hospital on the campus. Mm. And that Mission Hospital is the main hospital that services Liberia. And without those doctors, we just won't have medical care. And so all of the missionary doctors' children are in our school. They were all going to leave Liberia, and they are also the ones that are training up Liberians so that they can know how to help their own people. Mm. So that's about 50% of the missionary kids that we work with. They come from medical families. And then we have families that work with, you know, their parents are pilots, working in administration, different things. Mm. But so, yeah, so it's been a blessing, even though it's been hard. It's been challenging and we don't have much help. We've had to raise funds to do everything, which is fine. The Lord has provided. So, but that keeps us going, knowing that the doctors are staying at that hospital and helping those people.
Well, we're proud of you, Andrea. And Chris, what you're doing. Got about a minute left. How can we pray for you guys? Chris?
Pray for endurance, stress relief, and that we can, you know, be focused to minister the best we can to the people.
Yeah.
Whatever little, I mean, Andrew's got the school and I'm doing what I'm doing. It's, they're big undertakings, but God is really in it. We've seen it day to day. Sometimes we forget to step back. So, I think that's where the focus comes in. The prayer for focus comes in.
And we also pray for your helicopter.
Yeah. That's good.
And the maintenance people.
We got good maintenance. We got good maintenance.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. Hey, listen, thank you for both coming in, being here today. And, you know, Chris, one of you mentioned to me that after being here, you could feel a little bit of the stress. I mean, you get a little bit different. You're here and you're around the cousins and the family and so on. You kind of realize how much stress you guys have really been under a lot with what you do and this culture you're in and the ministry. But we pray that God will give you the strength to carry on with what you're doing. In fact, let me do that. Pray for you as we wrap up. Father, we do ask you to pray. We ask you to bless Chris and Andrea and the three kids and the work that goes on in their part of the world with the school that Andrea has an opportunity to build and grow and help the families there, and for Chris and his flying, his aviation and safety and his team and everything that they're doing. And today for each of us, as we listen in, that we not only hear a story, but Father, we'd be moved to know that you have a purpose for each of us, wherever it is, right here perhaps, in this neighborhood where we live today. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. All right, thank you, Jennifer and Amy and Andrew and the whole team for helping out today. And for Andrew and Chris, God bless you. And the grandkids, Nana's watching the grandkids.
Yep.
I hope things are going well.
Sure.
Who's
sure
in charge over there? Nana, who's in charge?
The youngest. Our youngest, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. Ian's in charge. He's running the show. All right, we got to run. We'll see you next time. Have a great holiday weekend. God bless you.